Thank you, everyone. Good evening and welcome to the regularly scheduled November 2nd election night edition of the San Luis Coastal School Board. Would everyone please disable their electronic devices? So, thank you. We met in closed session, and we met with our labor negotiators about negotiations with the employee unions, and directions were given. Now we're going to go to consensus on the order of business. Anything? We all right? And action on closed session items. We didn't do that. Approval of the minutes. A motion by Phil and second by Mark. Any additions or corrections? Okay, seeing none, then all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0. And we have a set for October 26, 2010. I was absent. So.
And I'll second.
Excellent. And motion by Ellen, second by Marilyn. Any discussion, correction?
Did we get a name for who seconded that? Okay. Okay.
Oh, you mean just right now?
No.
On page 2.
Oh.
Could have been me. I'm willing to say.
I know it wasn't me.
I'll second the motion.
Mrs. Holmes, I don't really recall, but I may have been the second. I'm willing to say I am the second on the decision that night.
Most of us think you as a first.
Very lovely in an odd sort of way. So we have corrected that to everyone's satisfaction. We're going to list both Mr. Angel and Ms. Roger as the second for a vote while we were rearranging the furniture. Okay. So it is 6-0 with one abstention, and we will move on to presentations, which tonight is one of our favorite annual events. Terry Main is here with Teach Grant. I'm sorry. You did, and that was very helpful. It is student representatives. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Well, you have student representatives tonight. Amanda Irons from Morro Bay High School, Julie Hausman from SLO High School, and Sandra Sanchez from PB. And let's see, how do we decide where to begin?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Julie, go first.
There you go. All right. Amanda, why don't you start off, and we'll just go that way. I'd be accused of favoritism if I went to PB High School first.
I guess I'll start by saying we had homecoming week on October 4th through 9th, and our theme was Rescue Me. To follow the theme, we had a lot of events going on throughout campus and dress-up days that were accordingly. On the Friday before homecoming week, we had an assembly to introduce all of the candidates that clubs around campus nominated and different classes nominated. Later in the day, Duke, Duchess, Lord, Lady, Prince, and Princess were all announced, and with their theme there. Wednesday was firefighter for our juniors, and our Powderpuff game was postponed, which was originally planned for that day. Thursday, the theme was lifeguard for the seniors, being Morro Bay. Seniors kind of really wanted lifeguards. Big surprise there. We had our Final Five assembly, introducing the Final Five male and female candidates for King and Queen, as well as honoring the rest of the royalty that had already won. We had a bonfire that night, and preceding that was the Powderpuff game, where the seniors swept 30-0. So, go seniors. Friday was Blue and White Spirit Day, and we played San Ynez, and it was a victory for us in the final 8 seconds with Jesse Landry scoring a touchdown. At the game, we had our floats, and our King and Queen were nominated. Nominated. So, Wes Hill is the king, and I was the queen. Saturday, to close up homecoming week, we had our dance, which was just casual, dressed to theme, and it went really well. So, go Morro Bay High School. Had a good homecoming week. Moving on, cheer participated in the Morro Bay Harbor Festival. FFA attended the national convention on October 20th through the 22nd, where our 2010 senior, Lauren Ruchers, received her American degree, so we're really proud of her. Last Friday was the end of the first grading quarter, and this upcoming Friday is going to be the end of our fall sports. Football has their last game next week at Santa Maria, but we do invite everyone to come to this Friday's game where we're playing our rivalry school, Templeton, at 7 o'clock. So it's going to be a good game. ASB had their hands busy with several exciting events. ASB will be attending a leadership conference at Pioneer Valley on November 16th, and we invited other clubs on campus like Rotary Club, Interact Club, and to come join us to build on this on their skills. ASB also started the Student Ambassador Program. Through this program, we as an ASB are able to send a few of our students to other schools to shadow their ASB students for the day to see how their school runs along with their ASB. This last week, three students were able to visit SLO High to check out their homecoming assembly, and also and another student and I were able to go to Paso Robles High School, which is really different because they have closed campus, completely different bell schedule. So it was kind of a very enriching opportunity. It was fun. So we're going to continue that and hopefully branch out to Templeton and Atascadero. And in addition to that, we invite them to come to our school to see how we run kind of a trade-off shadow program. So we have really positive feedback from the students, so we hope to grow from that. Really involving the campus. FNL hosted the Slow in the Cone Zone. It's a group that runs the CHP and Caltrans to promote safe driving. In addition to a video was played for the social studies classes, just really drive the point of non-distractive driving and safe driving habits. Finally, Morabay High School's Blue and White is partnering with Ford and hosting a fundraiser this Saturday. The fundraiser is really simple, and I really do hope all of you guys can come. You have to test drive a Ford. It's completely free, and you're not obligated to buy a Ford after you test drive it, which I think is really encouraging. For every test driver, $20 goes straight to our school, and so we can make up to $6,000. So, I mean, it's one driver per household, and you have to be 18 or older, but you just come, test drive a Ford, and we make money. So, I mean, I think it's a good opportunity for us. So I think all of you guys should come. It'd be really great. And that is this Saturday from 9 to 5. It is at Morabay High School, so it's even easier. Yeah, you just go to Morabay. Cars are there. Get in the car, drive around, come back. I mean, they're kind of looking for that, but then we make money. So we really like this. Thank you, Ford. And so I mean, that's all I have to say.
What are the hours on that one?
9 to 5. So it's pretty much.
Dance was this past Saturday, which it was a big success. We had the most people ever at a homecoming this Saturday night. So go ASB, go us. Our homecoming football game, kind of a disappointment. We lost, I believe the score was 13-10 to Atascadero. We haven't beat them in our homecoming in a long time, so we're kind of pulling for that, but maybe next year. For our freshman court, we had Scott Hicks and Elizabeth Trujillo. Sophomores were Doug Williams and Mackenzie Hathaway. Juniors were Derek Chestnut and Linnea Ramirez. And the seniors were Berkeley Johnston and Abriana Torres. It was Abriana Torres' second year in a row. She won Homecoming Princess as a junior last year and Homecoming Queen this year. We had our parade Friday after school, which went through downtown. We had a rally in Mission Plaza, which was pretty successful. Football players and Coach Kelly said a few words of wisdom. And we had fireworks display at the football game, which didn't set the field on fire, thankfully. All right, our football team is nearing the end of their season. We're 4-4, which not bad, but not as bad as last year was. All right, cross country. Senior night is tonight. We're almost towards the end of our season there, too. We're two wins away from sharing the league title with Paso Robles. We lost to AG last week, I believe, but then Paso beat AG, so we're in the running for first. We have a new video production studio at Slo High. That's our new thing this year. We had our first successful broadcast on Charter Channel 9, and I believe this school board meeting is Charter Channel 21, so thanks to Charter for showing us. Our end of our first trimester is coming up, so we're looking forward to finals, and that is the 20th through the 23rd, right before Thanksgiving break. Principal's Advisory Council meeting is coming up. It's November 18th at 7 p.m. in the library, and everybody is welcome. It's from Mr. Jones. Band is holding a holiday bazaar. It's kind of in about a month. It's in the old gym on December 4th. So everybody is also welcome to come to that. And from So High, we'd also like to give a special thank you to the Teach Foundation for supporting our teachers, which in return supports our students at our high school. So thank you, guys. That's all I got.
And also, they had very good newspaper coverage on the video production.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but Mr. Jones made a mention of that. So it's
last marking period, like about 70% of our students made nine or more credits. Our school, like, wide goal is to make beat the number of credits this marking period. Our back to school night was very successful. A lot of the school members were there. We thank all the board members who made time to attend. Thank you also, Dr. Prater, for bringing your family and helping grow hamburgers for all the attendees. A special thank you to Valerie Harrigan for bringing homemade cookies and also grilling burgers to the very end. Today we had the review committee visit Pacific Beach to review our model continuation school. We applied for that. Thank you again to all the board members and district administrators who came to show their support. And lastly, our mock trial team is having a scrimmage on Sunday, the 7th.
Just would like to point out that we had amazing feedback from the model continuation high school team of two members who were there, particularly just spoke glowingly about the students and the students' connection to the school. And I want to thank Mark, Marilyn, Ellen, and Chris. No, Mark, I'm sorry, Ellen. Chris, Marilyn, Mark, and myself were there. And I think the review folks were very impressed by the board's support for it. And even the board members who couldn't be there are very supportive of it, too. So thank you, Sandra. Thank you all.
I also invite all you guys to, if you guys can make it on Sunday, to check out our mock trial team.
Yes.
Thank you. Have a good night.
And we appreciate you all being here. This next part's going to be really fun, so you might want to stick around for that. But we understand that you all have commitments, and you may not be able to stay for the whole meeting. But thank you for your reports. Now we will move on to the Teach Foundation grants and awards. So Terry Main is here, and Kathy, are you going to assist? Kathy Ahern? All right. Have fun.
Guys, my voice is a little bit fortunate to have her as a great supporting board member. As you can well imagine, given the current economic environment, we had our biggest grant cycle ever. We had a total of 35 grant requests, and we were very fortunate to be able to at least partially fund 23 of these requests. We really had a lot of support from the teachers. We went back and asked them whether or not they might be able to do with a little bit less, still accomplish some of their goals, and therefore allow us to actually spread the wealth. And everyone was so accommodating, and we're very, very pleased to have a large number of grant recipients this cycle. So those 23 grants, we rounded up and gave a grant total of $10,000 to the school district for those grants. And as in keeping with kind of a new tradition, rather than me telling you exactly what those grants are, we've invited the teachers that could be with us tonight to come up and tell you what they requested, where the site they're from, the amount of their award, and what they're going to use the money for. And we're going to lead off with Autumn Jaso from Morro Bay High School's special day class. Autumn?
Hi, I'm Autumn Jason. I teach the Emotionally Disturbed Special Day class at Morro Bay High School. We serve a lot of foster children and students who live in group homes who have full kitchens in our program, so we're able to teach the kids how to cook, what utensils to use, what pots and pans need to be used in preparation. And then they're also going to have the fun task of cleaning up the kitchen. So thanks to the Teach Grant, we'll be able to help our kids be successful as they transition into adulthood.
I brought props. I'm Terry Jacobson from Pacific Beach. I'd first like to thank the members of the board and administration who spent some time with us today, and I won't get emotional now, for our model school. So thank you. We appreciate that support. She's laughing at me. I always do this. I received $691 from the TEACH grant. They have supported our program over the years continuously, which provides us model or mock trial, and I do enhancing the art experience, which allows an outside artist from the community to come in and work with our students, which is a great experience. Sandra's been a member of that class at times. Over the years, the last few years, the artists usually want to come back. And we have had a program where the kids have picked a fairy tale or a story, and then they have to make puppets. And we actually go and do a puppet show at a local preschool when we can figure out. So I have brought some of the puppets. They mache. There's a paper towel tube up inside. They have to sew the clothes. They have to paint. And then they have to learn their part, and they have to perform it. So Scarecrow, Tin Man with all his little parts. And this is one of my favorites. He got injured in transportation. We did Shrek 1 year, so here's Donkey. So he's pretty cute. So anyway, feel free to take a look at these. We're hoping that Connie Mooney is usually the artist that comes and helps us do this, that she'll be back this year. And I don't know what the stories will be, but hopefully some more creative projects will be had. So thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Melissa Newman, and I also, my program mock trial was also awarded $691, and we thank you so very much for that. Without those generous contributions and donations, we would be really strapped to put on one of the jewels of the crown of Pacific Beach, which was the wording that was used today with the model schools. That's what they said. Yeah, so that was really cool. And also, thank you, Mr. Buckman, for your generous donation. He's donated to our wardrobe department, so we really appreciate that. Mock trial is one of the.
Hello, I'm Jed Brewington. I was fortunate to get two grants. The first one is for San Luis High School for $640. We're going to use that money to upgrade our cordless tools to lithium ion tools. They're a little more friendlier to recycle rather than the nickel cadmium batteries. So we have that. And then at Los Osos Middle School, we were awarded $240 to purchase some more hand tools for those students who have to stand and wait for the two tools that I have to make some projects. So thank you very much for your help. Thank you.
I'm Lisa Burson. I teach the culinary nutrition program at Slo High School, and I'm very excited to have $172 to buy a worm compost bin, so I'm not throwing away all that compost anymore. We're going to make something good with it. So, very excited.
Good evening. My name is Cherie Jones. I'm the new chair for the art department at San Luis Obispo High School. And I want to thank TEACH led with neat ideas coming to the department. But what I'd like to just kind of address is that we're really excited about offering more enrichment to our students, and we're planning on taking a trip. And this enrichment is going to really apply to those students who hopefully we can help some students get out of the city and visit places that they wouldn't normally be able to visit. And we do have lots of students who don't even get out to the galleries, the wonderful galleries that we have that exhibit artworks here in our own city. There was a study done at Stanford University about the arts and how it enriches students academically. And I just wanted to read a few points from that study. Number one, it says that young people who work in the arts after school, which is extracurricular, they are four times more likely to win an academic award, such as being named to the honor roll, eight times more likely to receive a community service award, three times more likely to win a school attendance award, and four times more likely to participate in a math or science fair. So these are students who are being well-rounded outside the core.
Los Angeles to the Museum of Contemporary Art down there. And right near that same neighborhood is a Walt Disney Concert Hall and the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels, which is a really contemporary Catholic cathedral with some really cool art built right into it. And those are all within walking distance of each other. So we're really excited to bring the students down there, also maybe experience Japantown or Chinatown and just kind of get them out there, exposure to these contemporary artists, working artists that are still working today, instead of just always going back to Michelangelo or Van Gogh, which we all know so much about already. We really want to expose them to new artists that they haven't heard of before. So we're really excited. And that's all. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. I'm Charlie Deeds, representing the Physical Education Department at San Luis Obispo High School, and I really want to thank the Teach Grant Foundation for what they do for all our students. We were awarded $300, and that money goes towards our spin bike room. We have 45 spin bikes that we use and a terrific video screen with videos with it and the stuff, but the $300 is going towards a circulating venting system with a fan, and we're hoping to get another one in the rest of the part of the school year and that sort of thing to really open that.
Good evening. My name is Tom Weinschenk from San Luis Obispo High School, and I brought two students of mine, Michael Slocum and Marissa Beitsch, both seniors, and I want to thank the Teach Foundation so very much for their continued support for our Latin Club's efforts. Every year we try to go to the California Junior Classical League Convention, which brings 1,400 to 1,500 Latin students from all over California to one venue to compete in things related to Latin and the classical world. And without the Teach money, it would be difficult for many of our kids to go. It makes it that we know that Teach and the school board also, I want to thank you for that continued support, is behind the program and supportive is such an important step for us. Last year, thanks to Teach, thanks to the school board's support, we were able to bring back a third place trophy statewide for our kids. I'm very proud of them. And I'd just like to introduce them, and they would also like to say thank you.
Hi, my name is Marissa Beitsch. I'm a senior at Slo High, and I'm the president of our Latin Club. And the JCL is a really valuable experience for us because I think sometimes it's hard for students to see a connection between Latin being a dead language and today's culture, but there are a lot of roots in the English language and the English
club representative. I just really would like to say thank you to the Teach Foundation, for the board members, for providing this opportunity for certain kids to go to the JCL, for not only does it allow them to immerse themselves in the diverse Latin culture, but allows them to meet other people with similar interests who may actually become friends later on, allow people to grow and learn, and really helps round them out as people. So I'd really like to thank you.
Thank you very much.
It continued in a perennial successful Latin competition. You guys are great.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Eric Benitez. I'm a teacher at Laguna Middle School. And I want to give my thanks on behalf of the rest of the coaches for this $475 for the first ever mock trial team at Laguna. It's going to be 8 middle schools competing. So thank you for this as we continue to guide our students in preparing for this trial. Thank you again. And thank you to Mary and Ms. Ahern. Thank you.
I'm Holly Naylor from Laguna Middle School, and I want to thank the Teach Foundation to go beyond just regular academics. So it is an enrichment program that allows students to climb steps in my class. There's 50 of them to get to the summit, and they can do that through academic challenges like just getting an A on a test or improving on a test, getting tutoring or being tutored. So it tries to reach all ends of the spectrum. It's not just for that honor student at the top. Once they climb to the top, then the reward is 50 extra credit points, but it's also a field trip. And that field trip kind of takes the place of our science club that Teach funded us for 2 years. And not with a lot of interest by students, unfortunately. And so this is hopefully providing enrichment at the same time, a time for students to come together and be able to be rewarded for their hard work. So we do have some challenge steps, of which one of those is going to Engineering Day. And I have 23 students going this year to Engineering Day, so that's part of this challenge. It isn't just academic, but it's also some things that students can choose to do on their own. Falls at this point, and hopefully by the end of the year they will make it to the summit. So, and the Teach Foundation has given me this money, and we will truly enjoy a wonderful field trip either to the abalone farm or the Discovery Lab at Cal Poly, or another possibility is the Marine Institute at Avila. So every time we've ever gone on the field trip, they've been wonderful, and the kids really deserve it. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Kevin Hill. I'm a sixth grade teacher at Bishop's Peak School, and together with my teaching partner, Bridget Reddy, we'd like to thank the Teach Foundation for a $500 grant. We plan to use the money to purchase an online program called Renaissance Learning, which is enables us to be able to access the entire collection of accelerated reader quizzes. And if you're not familiar with that, it's a program where the kids can log on to a computer at school and after completing an independent reading book can take a short quiz. And it'll enable the teachers and the students and parents to all access this information and will hopefully be another tool for us to help them, you know, select appropriate independent reading material. And I was excited tonight. I was just sharing with a couple other teachers that I know here tonight that we were...
Ken Hotelling, and I'm one of the sixth grade teachers at Monarch Grove Elementary School in Los Osos. And the Teach Foundation was kind enough to honor a grant request for the admission costs to get into the Hearst Castle. The Hearst Castle has a specialized field trip that's designed specifically around the ancient Greek, Roman, and Egyptian artifacts that they have collected at the castle, which so happens to also coincide nicely with the sixth grade history standards, so that's lovely as well. So later on this spring, we'll be heading up to and exposing the kids to some authentic real-life Egyptian and Roman and Greek artifacts, which is really an amazing experience for the students. For many of them have never been to the Hearst Castle before, and certainly have never been able to see and to be able to witness such artifacts up close and personal as opposed to a textbook. So thank you to the Teach Foundation for opening the window to 45 different sixth-grade students in Los Osos. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Russ Rayburn. On behalf of my colleague, Catherine Kirby, I'd like to thank the Teach Foundation for continuing their funding of a salmon enhancement outreach program. We raise rainbow trout in the classroom, and it gives the kids a hands-on opportunity to see firsthand the development from an area. If you can imagine this, last year we were on a crescent beach, nice white sun, sunny day. Each child had their own fish in a cup to release, and all together we walked out and placed our fish and watched them swim away. And we really very much appreciate the funding that allows it to happen. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Debbie Jones from Laguna Middle School.
And I'm Steve Cossey from Laguna Middle School.
And we'd like to thank the Teach Foundation for the grant that we've received of $562. With it, what we'll be doing is last year Cal Poly donated us a track with some cars on it that we could smash together and do
they
some...
They kind of just bounce.
Yeah, they bounce. And you can change the weights on them and all kinds of fun stuff. And so with this grant, we're able to sort of complete the whole package and get some... stands to hold the ramps up and to get some really cool timers that we can use with the cars.
Yeah, the photo gates are the key component because with that we're going to get some accurate data. Before, the kids were just trying to time it with the stopwatch. And
too much human error.
A lot of human error. So now it's going to be very accurate. So it'll be good. So thank you very much, Teach.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Concert band to do some jazz artist workshops. We've given some money to Daniel Freeman, who's an English teacher that produced, if you remember last year, he did a mockumentary where the students actually produced a play about standardized testing And at any point in time that the school board has an extra 20 or 30 minutes, I think you might find that very entertaining. Students' perspective on standardized testing, we'd be happy to provide you with a copy of the CD. But they are going to be doing Teen Angst the Musical. So we, once again, hope that we are able to provide a copy of that for the viewing pleasure of the school board and anyone else who'd like to experience it. We also have some reading materials that we have given to Del Mar for their fluency lab and some bilingual books for parents and students to be able to do reading at home. We have a great grant from Gary Peters at SLO High School. He has started a criminal justice ROP program, so we've provided him money for videos and to actually be able to take the students on field trips to actual sites so they can actually get some direct experience with what the criminal justice program is all about. So, once again, 23 grant recipients, and we're just thrilled to death to be able to do this. We would like to let you know that we are not going to be doing the telethon again in the spring. Instead, we are planning some new kind of fundraising activity, which we hope to be... Okay, great.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Kathy. It's every year, it's just the most fun. It's it is the definition of bang for the buck. Just the amounts that you can put in the teacher's hands and then the creative things that the teachers do for the kids with the money. It's very gratifying. We're ready to make fools of ourselves under any fundraising scheme you come up with. So just let us know.
All right. Okay. I heard it here, and so did everybody else.
Thank you. Okay. And thank you all for coming down for the presentations tonight. We know you've had a long day and got one tomorrow, too, so thanks very much. Next, we will move on to public comment. I have one request to speak from Patty Andreen. I think you pronounce it.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Patty Andreen from San Luis Obispo. I just thought it would be a good night to come down and thank you all. I know some of you had to stand for election tonight. Some of you got lucky, and some of you are going to stand for election in a couple of years. I remember what it's like to sit up there and know that people are casting the final ballots, and soon you're going to know who's sitting up there with you.
That's right. We can't comment. Anyone else would like to address the board on any item that's not on the agenda? Okay. Seeing no one, we will... Oh. And, Julie, you know you're clear to... All right, good. Yeah. And we want to hear any inputs you have on items, too, because that's part of being a student representative. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. There seems to be some technical difficulties at the moment.
The light on?
Mr. Miller, was the electric bill paid on time?
There.
I know. They would just let us. Anyway, we'll move on to the superintendent's update. Dr. Prater.
Thank you, President Millar. I would like to take a quick moment and prior to Rita presenting comprehensive literacy and talk about the excellent accomplishment of Pacific Beach High School, the model continuation award that it looks as though I got an email today, and it looks as though they're going to get that award. And I just want to say how impressed I am with improving their lives or helping be a catalyst in improving their lives. And I greatly appreciate that. I also want to commend the board for supporting Pacific Beach High School in the way they did. Five board members attended the visitation today by the state, and I thought that was that needs to be noted, and that's impressive. I would also like to talk real briefly about an incident that occurred yesterday that reached the news, and I just want to just highlight how challenging it is in the work of leadership in public schools. You never really know what you're going to get. And so the value of a strong leader is how they manage crisis. Am I over? Okay. Okay. I would like to just explain for a moment that the manner in which this incident at C.L. Smith came to my attention, I was able to watch how our response was, starting with the Amy Shields, principal at C.L. Smith. And so it came to her attention that there, Miss, you must remain calm, but you also have to be swift in your decision making. And so she didn't try to do it by herself. She immediately called Rick Robinette, and Rick immediately brought it to my attention and Russell Miller's attention. And within short order, the communication lines were moving and decisions were made. Amy demonstrated just incredible patience under pressure, and she had excellent decision making. I'd like to commend Diane Frost, from the principal at Laguna Middle School, as well as Andy Marinello, the vice principal, who was quick to be there to assist. And Jeff Guy, from the director of maintenance and buildings. And he did a phenomenal job. It was a team effort. But I do want to just say that it was, even though, thank goodness, it was safe and it wasn't what they thought it was, what was fantastic for me was the way in which it was handled. And I wanted to commend Amy for her cool under pressure. So, and now I would like to spend a moment to explain this next presentation. Rita Delkiskamp, work generated throughout our district on really just developing best practices and heightening our awareness for all kids and their achievement. And this is the beginning of a much richer conversation. Rita, thank you.
Okay, let's see if we're going to work. Yes, we are. before I, yes, we get better and better. It's practice. before I begin, I wanted to just thank in particular a couple of individuals who really helped put this together. One is Darla Batistic, who's been here before with me, who spent quite a bit of time videotaping and then editing. Also, Greg Wilcox, a teacher at Los Osos Middle School, gave his time to sit with Darla and with me so that we could learn how to further edit video. And, of course, I want to thank all of the participants who helped us piece this together for you. What I think is valuable is that you don't have to listen to me explaining. You're going to hear lots of voices explaining to you this effort of comprehensive literacy that we've embarked on. Thank you, Kim. And Kathy Zodovich, that's whose classroom you see there, has really brought some of that vision and energy to life. In fact, that is her grade 5-6 combo class. And she commented to me when she was getting ready to have what we call, this is an interactive read aloud, that some people told her, oh, I don't think you'll ever be able to get fifth and sixth graders to sit around in a circle around you. And she was able to do that and engage them. You'll also see some other wonderful kids and what they're able to do.
So what does comprehensive literacy look like for me? I've been using the model for roughly a decade. I have used it very successfully in my primary classroom, which was a first grade classroom. I've done a 1-2 combo with it as well, and it was an awesome way to differentiate instruction for both grade levels and for my students that were both EL or struggling learners, as well as meeting the needs of my students that needed their literacy lifted or students that needed to be advanced. So I just can't speak highly enough about this new model that we're adopting in our district. I'm so excited that we're here.
Okay. And this model is based on Mari Clay's lead, and we're recognizing, of course, that they bring lots of different knowledge with them to the class. Another important part is that reading and writing really go together. And finally, that it's a continuous process that our readers are engaged in. And Mary Zerm's going to
explain it more articulately.
So our professional development that we're planning in our district is focusing on helping our teachers identify those best practices that will meet the needs of their students, as well as building everyone's theoretical understanding of how students learn to read and write. We're basing our work upon the work of Mari Clay, who was also the founder of Reading Recovery, an intervention that we have in our district. And she had some key points that she wants us to remember when we're thinking about literacy. It's a complex process, and we have to help our children to understand how to do the problem solving in order to access text. Our students come from all different kinds of backgrounds and come with prior knowledge, and we need to build our instruction upon those, the knowledge that they bring to us, and also that students are going to take different paths to common outcomes, that they'll all get where we need them to be, but that we may need to modify how...
You'll see many of these mentioned in the next video clips that you see, beginning with assessment and accountability. But before that, there are two components that are key to our implementation at this point. One is how to implement a reading workshop that includes those different components that you see there. Today you'll hear, Today you'll hear some of our teachers talk about mini lessons, independent reading, getting ready for guided reading, interactive read alouds. In the writing workshop, it has similar components. And so now assessment. Assessment is very important because it allows us to know what our students' strengths are and what are those areas that we need to address to help them reach our outcomes. So currently, we have implemented these different assessments at the elementary level. The developmental reading assessment has been in our district for a long time, but the Fountas and Pennell assessment is one that we added about a year and a half ago, and the Scholastic Reading Inventory we've had before, but now we've gone...
...piece of comprehensive literacy that makes it so powerful and the one that makes so much sense. Idea is you assess a child's literacy skills and you address their needs individually, a personalized instructional model that is sequential, that actually will work with the student to bring them forward along the path of literacy. So you have an assessment model, find out their instructional level, and that's where you start. You build on their strengths.
Another component of this model is intervention, and it can happen in the classroom through guided reading and conferencing with students. Leveled literacy intervention is something that we've extended our pilot on for this year, and then, of course, reading recovery, which we have supported for many years. So a couple of staff members will talk about intervention here.
A key piece of our comprehensive literacy plan is reading recovery, where we're working with our first grade students who may be hard to reach or hard to teach, and giving them a jump start early towards their literacy acquisition. We're also looking at trying to expand to other grade levels and provide other interventions that may not be as intensive as reading recovery.
First 20 days, and I was doing Reading is Thinking, and the kids go, "Reading is Thinking, we have that in my classroom." And I was so excited because as an intervention teacher, to know that I'm doing something to reinforce what the classroom teachers are doing.
We try to make the intervention as seamless as possible. So oftentimes it requires a push-in program, in which I go into the classroom at their reading time, or it is at a time where the students are brought out into my room and I am actually either front-loading a lesson that's going to happen or giving support to a lesson that has already happened in the classroom.
Okay, and so the next video clips have to do with instruction. Interactive read aloud is something that our teachers learned how to do last year. At the beginning of the year, they received an in-service on the first 20 days, and then some of our teachers have begun on their own to implement different parts of a reading workshop.
So one of my very favorite parts that I embraced last year was the interactive read aloud, and it's really changed the way I do whole class read alouds. Used to be, I would just get the book out and listen to me as a teacher be a good reader, but this year with Bad Document Camera putting the book, I decided to go online and get some pictures, and each student has a map at their desk of the Hobbiton. Then we watched the little cartoon video in pieces to get them anticipating the plot of the chapters and the many events that happened throughout this book. So it's really become a process of reading in our class versus just me as a reader reading.
I like to point out that much of her strategies are strategies that are essential for our English learners to be able to participate. But she's doing this for all of our students, and that's helping them too. Okay, so the first 20 days is about teaching students to become independent readers and writers. And so teachers are going to share how they've done that in their class.
So, here we are. This is like my 12th year teaching 6th grade in San Luis Coastal. And I have come across a new reading program that I love. And this first 20 days has really got me recharged as a teacher. I have seen things from students that I've always wanted to, but I never gave myself the time. And so now I'm finally seeing students sit down and read for long, extended periods of time, and they're loving it. And I'm
him, though.
I have started this year with the first 20 days, and it has gone great. I love the guidance it gave me as a new teacher on exactly what to show the kids and the process. I've switched around a couple of the days just to fit my style and to suit the kids, but they've really grabbed a hold of it, and I love what it's doing for my classroom. The kids are discussing books and writing about them, and they've really grown as students already within the first few months of school.
A powerful part of comprehensive literacy for me, especially at kindergarten, first, second grade, is trying to develop the self-regulated learner. Having them be independent at tasks so that you are able then to work in small groups or independent or individuals while the rest of the kid is working on meaningful tasks that support literacy in both reading and writing, but also it's like quiet because they're engaged.
The next clip you're going to see are first graders who are engaged each in their own individual tasks. And so I think, boy, first graders can do that. And when are then it's 10, and they slowly increase the time until they get to the point where they're able to work with a small group of students because everyone's engaged.
So this is our class library.
We organized it by genre, such as animal fiction, fantasy, and mystery.
And when we pick out books, we check to see if our friends recommend them or if we've heard that it's good before. And we also have these red painting sticks with our numbers on them, our class numbers. And we put them, after we take a book, where the book was so that we know where the book goes when we're finished with it.
And when we finish a book, we fill out A recommendation card.
Sorry, I cut her off.
So after the professional development on the first 20 days of school for comprehensive literacy, the IMC Instructional Media Center has experienced at least triple amount of requests for teachers in supporting their programs and their classroom curriculum and author studies and things like that. So we're sending out monthly rotating collections of fresh new books that kids get to look at their levels and things like that. Library techs have also incorporated many of the strategies and
in my classroom is in the form of a reader's workshop right now. And it starts off with a mini lesson in the beginning with everyone in an intimate setting, usually around my chair. The best thing I like about comprehensive literacy is that I'm a newer teacher, and it really provides for classroom management, which is something that I think all new teachers might struggle with. I can differentiate instruction to all the students, and they can keep themselves not only occupied, which helps me working with my group, but they're engaged in learning, they're engaged in literacy activities where they are able to extend what we've worked on as a group or as a whole class.
Gives the teacher time to read in small groups with the children, sometimes one-on-one with the children. It gives students really the opportunity to practice what they learn in a mini lesson before reading workshop.
The kids are able to independently come over to my library. This is the first year I've had a library accessible to kids. I divided it by genre. They're coming over, they're picking their books, taking them back to their seat. They're using terminology with the posters we created up here. They know how they choose books, reasons from the cover.
Self-regulated learner is any learner, but in this case a child, who is able to think about how they think when they read or write or do anything.
Okay, so what you have there is our draft map for where we're going with comprehensive literacy, and we actually have a more detailed map. This is just a synopsis, but it's important to know that it's a draft because as we work together, our department with principals and with site leaders, there's a synergy. We keep thinking about where we're going and how we want to adjust.
Over the last few years, we've been working on developing a comprehensive literacy plan that focuses on student achievement as well as developing our teachers' expertise as teachers of reading and writing. The plan that we've developed is focusing on the different components that, or the different practices that teachers can use in their classrooms to help their students to gain inroads into literacy.
Today's classrooms are microcosms of our society.
I will say that there are several teachers at the site that are really excellent practitioners of the comprehensive literacy model, but they will tell you that they're still learning.
One of the most powerful things I think that has come out of this whole movement within our district has been the change in teacher language, that teachers are having conversations about students, about the strengths that they have, as well as what do they need to learn next. And we all know what our final outcome is. What we're looking at now is what will be the path for each individual child to reach that final outcome, which is to become a literate adult when they leave our school system.
Okay, so we ask them, what do you think our next steps are?
One thing I think that I know I could benefit from and my whole grade level team could benefit from with comprehensive literacy is more level books.
My next steps with the program is trying to figure out how to implement the word study and also doing a little more research on how I can make sure that I'm hitting all the standards within my program.
A next step in comprehensive literacy that would be helpful for me and probably other teachers is to see other teachers modeling this, either have someone videotape them in the classroom or to actually...
The sense that certain rooms on a campus are set up intentionally with even extra resources to be a place where expert practitioners are working and other people can come and see what their room looks like. That's called the model classroom. We sort of are getting there, but we don't really officially have that in place. And even more so on top of that is the idea of literacy coaches, expert practitioners who have been trained in some coaching methodologies who are working with teachers across the district or even on one campus to really hone down instruction much better than I think an administrator, supervisor, evaluator could ever do.
And the final clip is Kathy Sodovich, who we heard from at the beginning.
So looking forward and thinking about where our next steps will lead us as we go down our comprehensive literacy journey, this is really a path. And I think what I find so rewarding about it is not only are we embracing our students' learning, but we're embracing our instructors' learning as well. We've had Gaysu Pinnell actually come to our site and offer professional development training. And then we've enlisted the experts within our district to also help lift the literacy learning of our teachers as well. And I'd like to see that continue. I've heard that this might be a model that would be embraced by all of us in the district. I love the fact that we're all speaking common language and that we are all relating on common assessments and being able to take that data with Data Director and drive us even farther. I'd like to see, in my hopeful view, that perhaps we could see literacy coaches not only at our district level, but perhaps throughout the district at site level.
Okay, and that concludes our presentation. I'd be happy to take your comments or your questions.
Well, I'll just start off by saying that it was a very impressive presentation, and the program is very impressive, but I have to say that was the richest presentation of information to the board in my 12 years, just because we got to hear from teachers, staff, and kids involved in it, and it worked. It all worked beautifully, Rita. Congratulations, but I appreciate the presentation, and I appreciate the program very much.
Thank you.
Mark and the captain.
Fantastic, Rita. And it's just really exciting to see all that's going on. And one of the things that caught me was just, it sounded like you're beginning to articulate across the grades.
The elementary and the secondary level. That was our initial focus. And so one issue that came up was, well, wouldn't it be good if the assessment that provides us all this information span those two, you know, elementary and secondary? And so that's where we've begun. It doesn't mean that it will look exactly as it does in elementary at secondary, but I think some of the foundational theories and concepts are very important ones that could be incorporated into the secondary level.
Thanks.
I think that what was so much fun about watching that was that each teacher was ignited with the excitement of seeing the progress of their students, of learning new things themselves, and then sharing what they're learning with other teachers. The idea of teachers teaching teachers is phenomenal. And I want to thank you and Darla for taking the time to go out. It's like a field trip for us. Mm-hmm. But what was nice about it was seeing the teachers in their own environments, and that made them more comfortable, and it was fun to get that peek into their rooms and meet their students. So thank you for all that extra trouble.
Thank you.
Bill. A great presentation, and it's nice that we have something to look at. When, as school board members, we go visit schools. I know I've seen the comprehensive literacy at some of the...
For me, it was a learning experience. Having the teachers express what it is they're doing in the various literacy models. So thank you. I learned a lot from it.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Mr. Millar, in order to achieve domestic harmony, I'm going to ask if the board would consider moving item number 4 ahead of the next group of agenda items.
I don't know how the board feels about this kind of favoritism, but as a senior member of the board, we'll probably defer to you. Is it satisfactory to the board that we move item number 4, Day of the Special Educator, up at this point? And we'll have Jackie make the initial thing, and then I thought we'd defer to Mr. Unger to take the lead on this particular item.
Yes? Okay. Tonight is one of our beginning special opportunities to recognize our valuable staff we have in our organized tours of free and appropriate public education to all students with disabilities. Not wanting to detract from that special day for our students, the California Organization for Special Educators, also known as CARS, chose December 3rd as the day in which to honor special educators who advocate for the rights and the services for these students. Last year was our first devotion to the special day, and this year this was signed into legislation, as well as our governor writing a message. And right now I'd like to read that message that the governor wrote. It's a pleasure to send my greetings to those observing the Day of the Special Educator. The education of our citizens is one of my highest priorities, and I salute you for enlightening the minds of students with special needs. Your support of the vision of my mother-in-law, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, is truly inspirational. Through your tireless efforts, you have ensured that every child has the opportunity to learn regardless of his or her conditions. From training teachers to supporting crucial legislation and more, you have had a positive impact in the lives of. So I would like to also acknowledge the special educators who are here tonight to hopefully hear you read the resolution tonight. And I'd like to recognize our special educators. Please stand. And I'm putting this on a short video so I can present this also to our special education staff meeting on Thursday so they can also see and hear the board as well.
It's not just Mr. Unger's connection to a special educator. He himself has and is a special educator. So if we could impose upon you, Chris, to read the resolution.
Thank you. And this is resolution number 081011, Day of the Special Educator. Whereas special educators are special day class teachers, resource specialists, speech and language pathologists, paraprofessionals, behavior specialists, occupational therapists, physical therapists, adaptive physical, and whereas special educators are dedicated, hardworking, and are invaluable resources, and whereas special educators personalize and develop goals for the student tailored to that student's individual needs and abilities, and whereas special educators are integral in the student's behavior, social, and academic development, helping them develop emotionally, navigate socially, and become aware of socially acceptable behavior, and whereas special educators work closely with parents to inform them of their child's progress and suggest techniques to strengthen the home-school connection, and whereas special educators design, modify, and deliver appropriate curricula based on best teaching practices and epitomize good teaching techniques in every aspect of their work every day, and whereas special educators help students overcome their weaknesses by building upon the child's strengths, and whereas special educators know that all children can learn, but not in the same way or at the same pace, and whereas special educators work to stay abreast of the latest laws governing special education to ensure individualized education programs make things clearer to students, and whereas special educators are responsible for other duties besides teaching, such as coordinating related services and meetings, serving as the authority on assessments, and IEP paperwork file manager to help ensure the district has met its legal responsibility of a free and appropriate education, and whereas special educators build collaborative relationships based on trust, teamwork, and shared accountability, and whereas special educators themselves are open-minded, eager learners who are always looking to improve their techniques and find even better source materials for their students, and whereas special educators hold the highest expectations for success for their students in order that they can self-actualize to their fullest potential, and whereas on December 3rd, special activities and programs will be held in communities across our district in observance of the Day of the Special Educator, and it is fitting to join in acknowledging the commitment and contributions of our special educators. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of San Luis Coastal Unified School District declares its appreciation of special educators in our district and proclaims December 3rd as the Day of the...
Thank you, Chris. Would you like to do the honors?
I will move approval of resolution number 081011.
Any further discussion by any board members? Any member of the public? In that case, we'll act on the motion by Mr. Unger, second by Mrs. Sheffer, and it's a roll call vote.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Mr. Angel?
Aye.
Adopted, 7-0.
Thank you very much. And on December 3rd, our district will be celebrating them.
Thank you.
Can I just tell a little story?
I wish
just something
you would.
That happened today that just demonstrates what our special educators do. So I'm sitting in a classroom where we had a problem with a student who happens to be in our district. And lo and behold, who should call me but Naomi Blakely to work through an issue with a student? We happened to then start talking about this other student that we were really having some concerns about. Within 45 minutes, Mr. Trejo.
Okay, we will move on to item one. Is that right? Okay, and we'll go to Rick Robinette.
Thank you. We have actually have three public hearings under the Public Employee Relations Board rules. We have to open a public hearing either when we tentatively conclude negotiations or when we're going to sunshine new collective bargaining. So this first public hearing is for an opportunity for the public, if they choose to provide any comment, and this is about our 2009-10 successor agreement with the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association. The actual agreement appears later in the action consent item, but the purpose here is to allow any public who wishes to speak to have that opportunity.
We'll open the public hearing. Anyone like to address the board on this item? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing and return it to the board.
Which gets us to public hearing number two.
Okay.
We have received a letter asking to begin negotiations. We actually do enter into our collective bargaining for this current year with the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association. This
item number two. Anyone like to address the board on this item? Okay. Seeing no one, we'll close the hearing and bring it back for item number three.
Pleased to know that our public hearings are running the way they usually do. Public hearing number three. The board also needs to sunshine its interests for that same negotiation. So this third public hearing is an opportunity for the public to comment on the board's interests.
Okay, we'll open the public hearing on item number three. And would anyone like to address the board on this item? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. And we'll move on to the action consent agenda. We've already done item four. We'll on to item five, which will begin the action consent agenda. Please let me know what items, if any, you would like pulled. Item five, approval of certificated and classified personnel items.
Hold, please.
Okay. Item six, approval of the 2009-2010 agreement with San Luis Coastal Teachers Association. Item 7, accept subdonations. Item 8, furniture and equipment requests. Item 9, approval of purchase orders. Item 10, approval of warrants and payrolls. I'll move with no one. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Those items pass 7-0. And Mr. Unger. Oh, you're 7. Oh, that's right. Marilyn has 5. Excuse me about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to make mention of the classified retirement of Nikki Wright, who is a longtime bus driver in the district, a member of the negotiating committee for SEIU, someone that I have worked with in interest-based negotiations with them, and a really wonderful person. So it's kind of a surprise retirement to me, maybe not to Mr. Robinette.
It's been in the works for a little while, but we are very sad to see Nikki plan on leaving us. She's still working with us, but has asked for her retirement, and we need to approve that before it happens.
Okay. Well, I just want to acknowledge her and her contribution to the district and to say that she'll be missed. And that said, I'll move approval of item 5.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn, for adding that. I appreciate it. We have a motion by Marilyn to approve item 5, second by Mark, I guess. Mark. I didn't know it was you or Phil. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0. Number 7, I wasn't sure. There were two people who wanted it pulled.
Chris pulled first.
Go ahead, Chris.
And I just wanted to acknowledge the $10,000 donation from Chuck and Mary Harper of Bottle Liquor in Morro Bay.
Yes.
The Harpers sold the winning lotto ticket, the $130 million lotto ticket. They have children that attend Del Mar Elementary School. And they showed their support for the school by donating $10,000, which I believe is probably the biggest individual donation we've ever had to a school. We had some pretty phenomenal grant teach contributions. But I just really want to personally, again, thank the Harpers for helping out Del Mar Elementary School to the tune of $10,000.
Thank you, Chris. Mark, did you want to add something to this?
Yeah, I would. I absolutely am amazed that the community keeps coming forward and making donations and holding more jogathons and this type of donation from an individual family. I did some rough math on this. Russell, please don't check me. This month is $16,004 in donations to the schools, and it's phenomenal, but it just can't make up for the billions of dollars that have been cut from our budget. We can't do it this way, so we're going to have to change what's going on up in Sacramento.
All right. That's a little bit of a buzzkill on top of an acknowledgement there. It's just, that's the appropriate term. I don't,
fair and balanced.
Okay, you two. Let's make a motion then.
I move approval of item number 7.
I second that.
Okay. Not that I disagree with your comments, Mark. I think you're absolutely right.
You're right.
Any discussion? All in favor of item 7? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Passes 7-0. And that brings us to the advanced agenda. Any advanced agenda ideas? Before we do that, we have some really dogged audience members here, and we always appreciate it when we have an audience left when we get to this stage of the meeting. So where are you all from, if you don't mind my asking?
We are the parents from
CL Smith. Oh, good. Okay. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. It gets pretty lonely here sometimes about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So. And having said that, we'll go on to advanced agenda. Anybody? Marilyn.
I'm sorry, my light's on by mistake.
Seeing no discussion and getting a hand signal from the other end of the table, we'll go to...
Yes. It's Georgie O'Connor, as I think you all know, who's a long-standing board member of Lucia Mar. In fact, possibly the longest-serving single board member in California. She's served, I believe, for over 50 years, is decided not to run again, and there will be she'll be honored on November 16th down at Lucia Mar. It's too late for us to get a resolution out there for her. We didn't put it on the advanced agenda. But I'd like to ask if the board would support me in asking the superintendent to acknowledge that on our behalf. So we can do that. The other thing is, with the board's permission, perhaps on the 16th, I would like the honor of presenting that. I've also been asked to present something from CSBA for her, so I might be late to that meeting. If the board would allow me that honor, I'd be willing to do that.
We would appreciate you appearing on our behalf.
Thank you.
Excellent. And let's see, anything else going on tonight that we need to think about? Okay. Well, thank you all for being here. I will. Oh, Mark, your light's not on, though. Oh, 13. I thought I just did it. Oh, that's right. We went back to Chris. Okay, now 13.
Really quickly, I was able also to take part in the Pacific Beach Model school and did go back for the review at the end at 3:30. And somebody mentioned the gem. There were so many superlative words spoken. It was like reading out of the dictionary. But the best thing that I heard was one of the parents said that this was the best-kept secret in San Luis Coastal Unified School District. And it just really heartening. And I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to become a model, continue to be a model school. I also would like to put in a shameless plug for November 15th, the 24th District PTA will be sponsoring a great program on bullying at the County Office of Education. Babysitting will be available, and depending on how many people there, you might get some refreshments. If you get there late, you won't.
Do you have a time on that? A time and a day of the week, if you know it.
Well, it's Monday. It's the 15th, and it's 6:30 p.m.
And just a couple of things. First of all, last Saturday night, I was able to attend an Eagle Scout ceremony for a Morro Bay High School student, Arthur Abels. And Arthur and I have done a little backpacking together. Actually, I was accompanied him and the Scouts on his first backpacking trip about 5 years ago, and he's rapidly ascended the ranks. He's just done a great job. He's a great kid, and I want to wish him and his family a congratulations on that. His Eagle Scout project was the Grange signs on Highway 41 at the Morro Bay Grange, and so it's pretty cool. I was able to go to Morro Bay High School and share some time with some of the students there, and I've shared this with Dr. Prater, and the biggest concern that those teachers expressed was their lack of internet access in their classrooms. Specifically, they mentioned YouTube, and I know we've had this discussion before, but they were talking about, as teachers for instructional purposes, they would like to be able to have that as an option for them in their classrooms. And they suggested things like other districts are being able to do this. Why can't we? So I wanted to share that. And then also something that I've always kind of thought was interesting is we have apparently board policy that prevents things like water, not just water sports, but boating. And I think that probably goes back to the Morro Bay boating accident back in probably the late 80s when the boat was trying to go out. And the marine biology teacher said what that means is he can't take his students out for whale watching, for example. And so I don't know if we... I told these guys I would let the board know what their concerns are. And so that's what I'm doing. And then finally, I want to thank Steve and Tech Services who helped get me back online when they redid it and they went up to Netscape 8. It wouldn't work for me, and I called him yesterday, and within 5 minutes, he had gotten it all together. So I just want to thank those guys for helping me out.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Morro Bay Harbor is the ninth most dangerous harbor in the country, particularly in the winter months when the whales are running. So just saying. I think we're violating the Brown Act.
Yes, sir.
So we'll stop. Anyone else for the love of the cause? Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here, and we'll be adjourned.